After those two very moving and wonderful addresses, what can I add? The idea of Bruce being a slave takes some imagination, but it does illustrate so well, Eric, that sense of humour that Bruce had, which wasn't always evident in one's day-to-day experience. Bruce Farthing's first words to me 22 years ago still ring in my ears. "What do you know about London's International Maritime Services?" he inquired, and much in that voice. In those days, the Common Councilman of Aldgate used to interview prospective candidates for aldermanic elections. Bruce was generous with his time and a good teacher. He also gave me a copy of that wonderful book, International Shipping, but he gave it to me with the sort of terms where I think he had in mind to give me a test paper on it some 3 weeks later. Bruce, of course, gained much fulfillment writing about shipping, sitting at his desk, writing about maritime services, whether as a contributor to journals or working on another book. I believe it was Johnny Wood, then chairman of the Chamber of Shipping, who in 1981 encouraged Bruce to stand for Court of Common Council. Johnny's thought was that Bruce would enhance awareness of the city's international maritime services, enhance that awareness at the heart of city government, the city corporation. And of course, Bruce naturally turned to the shipping ward of Aldgate and duly won a seat in a contested election. Bruce soon proved equal to the time and commitment required of a common councilman. Also, in addition to promoting maritime services and serving on many city corporation committees, he participated fully in Aldgate Ward Club with an outstanding year as president. He was proud of being a barrister of the Inner Temple, and he thrived on his involvement with the Shipwrights Company. Bruce had many friends and extensive contacts throughout the world. Scandinavia was of special significance, and it was no surprise when Bruce was elected chairman of the reception committee for the state banquet given in honour of the King of Norway. The King appointed him a commander of the Royal Norwegian Order of Merit. Bruce was a very enthusiastic member of the City Corporation, undertaking his full share of the work, both within and without the city, deploying to good effect his experience in education, music, and indeed the law. He contributed much to the Guildhall School of Music and Drama, to the Cass Business School with their maritime degree course, and contributed also to the School of Oriental and African Studies for many, many years. For 3 years, he was chairman of the governors of the City of London School. It was Bruce who initiated the introduction of Japanese into the syllabus there. And not to be overlooked, it was his persistence in achieving a pedestrian crossing outside the school in Queen Victoria Street. Bruce was a leading advocate for shipping at governmental, international, and corporation level. Understanding, I believe, of international maritime services here in the city has never been better. And of course, another outstanding achievement was his idea to establish Maritime London, an organisation promoting London as the premier maritime centre. Of this he was chairman and then president. Bruce came to be regarded as the custodian of the city's shipping interests. One of the highlights of Bruce's endeavours came when the Lord Mayor announced that he, the Lord Mayor, was going to include the word maritime when referring to financial services. And had Bruce still been with us, he would have smiled broadly when the Lord Mayor mentioned maritime no less than 3 times at the recent bankers' dinner. All that Bruce achieved in his outstanding service to the City of London, to London overall and to the nation, would not have been possible throughout these years with the corporation without Moira's unqualified support. Her unswerving and constant support made it possible for Bruce to dedicate himself unreservedly to the task of promoting international maritime services. Moira has never flinched from the many calls upon her time and has been eternally tolerant of the overwhelming calls upon Bruce's time and commitment. I wonder what Bruce's parting thought might have been. I suspect he might have said, as many of us have heard from him over the years, he might have said, "Don't forget that 95% of the world's goods go by sea."